for a special episode of the Cultural Hall. On the phone right now, all the way from the thriving metropolis of Provo, Utah, is Scott Jarvie. Here is where I admit I should know Scott Jarvie, and I apologize that I didn't know who Scott Jarvie was until yesterday. Scott, good to have you.
Well, thank you. How's it going?
So good. I've been Facebook stalking you in the last little while, and 200,000 more people are following you than me. So there's that, and that made me feel like I'm an idiot. You know what I'm saying?
So that's why you're saying you should have known?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like one of those things where it's like, yeah, everyone's got a slap bracelet, and I'm still rocking my jelly shoes. That kind of thing?
You know that most of those people are photographers.
I don't have 200,000 people that even care at all ever about me. So the fact that you can say...
Well, pretty soon there'll be 200,000 people listening to the Cultural Hall podcast.
Courtesy of Scott Jarvie. So
yeah.
I got this. I got this email
about that.
I got this email yesterday via theculturalhall.com. Check it out. It says email from Scott Jarvie. That's subject line. That's the first thing I noticed. And then I open it up. It says, "So I have a pretty good story for you," which I'll admit, Scott. I went, "We'll see about that. We'll see how good it is." Says, "I just launched a Kickstarter," and then I immediately went, "Oh gosh," because that you're not my first Kickstarter rodeo, Scott.
Oh yeah, okay. No.
But then he said, and this is where I got intrigued, and this is where I decided to call Scott back. It's a Kickstarter called "Faith in America: Religious Buildings of the United States," and also an LDS Temples book. So he says, "I'd love to discuss why I think this project will bring faiths from all over the country together and help strengthen in general as a people and as an added benefit, shine a little spotlight on the temples." Then he leaves his phone number. Then I decided to call him on a leap of faith. And here we go today, visiting here on the telephone. Thank you so much for taking time. Let's talk about it. So you're a photographer. Where did that start?
Yes. Well, I was studying languages at BYU and went on a trip to Belgium. I went and worked. I worked at a supermarket for a summer.
Like you do?
Yeah, like just how normal people just go to Belgium and work at a supermarket. Because I couldn't, like, I was poor. I couldn't afford, like, doing the study abroad, but I love travel. I wanted to get out. So I was like, I could do a work abroad. They'll pay me. So... I went over there,
So naturally, the first step is a supermarket in Belgium, of course.
Yes. So before I left, I was at Walmart, and I was like, "Hey, these digital cameras—they're probably pretty cool, you know." Like, this is in 2004, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just like 4-megapixel camera, and I was like, I should get one.
I was just going to say, they're probably, it's like 2.1 megapixels. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it was up to 4 by then.
Okay.
And you had to buy, like, for $100, you had to buy a 256 megabyte card. So
you buy it up, and you're like,
I could afford that.
You're like, Belgium, here I come.
So I went. And I had people, I just took lots of pictures with my little digital camera. I didn't even know much, you know, like I was taking pictures at 1 megapixel because I could fit 4 times as many pictures on my card.
All right. I'm following you here so far. I got you. So you're like, hey,
okay.
grocery store in Belgium, I've got a camera from Walmart. I think this is awesome. I just... You know, you have 200,000 people that follow you, so I know there's got to be something different in here or some sort of changing.
I will ramp it up for you. Okay, yeah. So here I am. I'm taking lots of pictures, and I even had friends that I was with from BYU that were like, "Hey, we don't have to bring our camera along because Jarvie, he takes some pretty good pictures." And I was like, "Oh, hey, my head's getting bigger. I like this photography thing even more." And so I guess the kind of like eureka moment was I was in this town and I was taking pictures. I was all by myself. I had taken a train to get there. It was called Bruges. It's in Belgium. And my camera died.
Ugh.
But it was just the batteries, and they were AA batteries. And I was just like, ah, crap.
This was back when, when you had burned through batteries in like 10 pictures. It's like, ah, lithium, why aren't you invented yet?
Well, they were rechargeable batteries because I'd done that. But my charger was back home, you know, a train ride away. And I was like, I'm screwed. I don't know. Can I say that word?
No, you bet. You can say screwed. Were you screwed if that's what it was?
Everyone is so offended right now with me.
So then what? Then
you're not going to want to support this LDS Temples book anymore.
No, LDS people get screwed all the time. It's fine. No stress.
So I sucked it up, and I went and got myself 4 more AA batteries, like the type you don't recharge, the type you just buy, and they're already charged. I don't know if you know those ones.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Okay. And my camera worked again, and then I was like, I'm having fun again. So there's something to this. Then I'll just fast forward. I went back home. That camera broke. I was waiting months for it to get fixed, and there was an awesome snowstorm. And I was like, I need a camera. And the next day I was at a mall, and I was looking at the other small cameras. I'm like, oh, my gosh, at $200, I can't afford this. And I looked at the big cameras that they just started coming out, the digital SLRs.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, to dream. I'm a poor student. I can't afford these things. And, of course, I left with a big camera on my credit card.
Did you really?
I really did.
I was hoping this was going to be a 3 Nephite story where someone came up and said, here, take this money. And then you turned back to thank him and he was gone.
No, I was just, a compulsive buyer. And that's how it happened.
And everyone listening to that who knows very little about the Mormon Church goes, 3 Nephite story, what's that? Don't worry about it. Look it up. We'll talk about it another time.
Oh, yeah. You're probably going to have some people that have no idea about the
Yeah, that's a little inside. You can email me if you want to know what that's about. Richie, R-I-C-H-I-E, at theculturalhall.com. So you buy this big, expensive camera. It's on your credit card. But had you ever taken classes in photography, or was this all based on your visit to Bruges in Belgium?
Well, it was based on that I had taken pictures with this digital camera, and, I had taken some good ones when I was in Europe, and I had come back and, like, shown people, and they loved them, and they thought they were really cool, and I couldn't print them very big because I'd taken them at 1 megapixel, so all I could do was, like, the biggest was, like, 5x7s or 8x10s, and I was like, now that I know better, I should have taken them at all 4 glorious megapixels.
You know, it's an interesting thing, though. Because, like, I take pictures and people are like, that's a great picture. But I don't know that I would ever deign to be like, I'm a photographer. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, there's always that feeling like it's like, mom's always going to like this picture. So, I mean, the distinction between, you know, just, oh, people are being nice to have a good picture. And then, wow, people really like my photography. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I think was that I really didn't associate with photographers. Like, there was no Facebook quite yet. Like, I started that next in 2005 is when I started Facebook, and Twitter wasn't around, and I didn't go on blogs. I didn't go on the internet to, like, look at photography much. I had just did it, and then I started sharing it with people, and then Facebook came around, and people were like, oh, these are good, you know? And so I didn't really know how far away from a good photographer I was. I didn't really consider myself a photographer. I'm just like, I love taking pictures. And there wasn't like this cultural, like, there wasn't a lot of people going, hey, let's go be photographers. I was just like, I'll take some pictures, and I love this, and I enjoy it, and I like traveling, so this seems to go hand in hand.
Yeah, you're like, I take pictures, and would you like your meat in a separate bag as I bag your groceries? No?
Well, I came back, and I'm working at the bank. I'm working at Wells Fargo and going to school.
And how much would you like cash back then? Okay.
Yes.
Do you like?
Yes. And then that next year, right after I got the camera, I went to Peru with a roommate. And we just shoestring budget. Spent like $900 to go there for 9 days. That includes airfare. And I took a bunch of pictures, and so, yes, exactly. When I came back to the bank, like, customers that I really knew well, I'm like, hey, here's a little video I did with my pictures and Peruvian music. Have it for free. You know, I just burned this for you, and so here's your money, and here's a DVD. So pretty much how you said it.
Cool. So then how did what's the impetus for this project then?
Okay, so we're going to fast forward real quick. I end up becoming, I take pictures and people are like, oh, you can do our engagement pictures. I'm like, sure. What are those? You know, like that's wedding related, right?
Right.
And I did some and they're like, oh, these turned out good and you should do our wedding. And I was like, okay. And then another person like, hey, you did what's his face's wedding. Want to do ours? I'm like, maybe I should charge for this. And
so at first you weren't even charging.
I'm getting money. So maybe I don't need to work at the bank.
So then it just exploded from there where it's like, especially here in Utah with the, we're getting married. Yeah, but you guys have known each other 2 weeks. Doesn't matter. We've known you longer.
Yeah.
Come be our photographer.
Yeah, it was some of those things where it's like, hey, we're getting married next month. We just got engaged. We're getting married next month. I'm like, yeah, sure. It sounds great. And so it was a couple years later that I just like I'd started doing a ton of them. And I do, I guess, have a good lineage, I guess you could say.
You can say lineage.
Some goodly parents. I'm trying to, you know, like be all.
Oh, I got the reference.
Good references for your listeners. My family are all artists, and I didn't think I was because I couldn't even draw a stick figure. But apparently I have the ability to recognize when something looks good in pictures, and I just figured I was like the geeky one that loves buttons and figuring out stuff, you know, like electronics and stuff.
Yeah.
But it turns out, you know, when you put those two together, you're pretty good at the whole digital photography thing.
So then it launches and explodes into where people are finding you online and looking at your pictures and buying prints and do this thing.
Yeah, then I started to become a full-time photographer, and then people are like, wanted me to teach them. And then, you know, the whole Facebook and then Google Plus and was big because then I had people from outside of Utah and outside of the country that loved my style of photography. And then, you know, they started following me on Facebook a ton and
really
just kind of become known.
Yeah.
For
and you're
doing what I do.
And you really have to credit that. I think not only to your talent, but you know, the nature of social media where people go, wow, look at that picture. Share it, pass it along, share it, look at this beautiful thing. I mean, that lends so much to your amazing talent. I don't want to downplay how great you are at what you do, but I mean, certainly recognizing that those social network avenues are perfect for someone like yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I started doing lots of stuff outside of Utah, a lot of weddings in California and the East Coast, and I even started to do some, like I've done a couple in Paris, and I've gone to Tokyo to do pictures, and a bunch in Canada, and just traveling around, which is great because, as you remember, I love traveling, and that's how I got into it. And then it was on a road trip to D.C.
The District of Columbia, our nation's capital.
Four weddings in 1 month.
Oh my gosh.
And I decided, okay, I'm driving across the country, making detour stops at different places. Maybe I should stop at LDS temples and focus on them. And here I'd already done like wedding pictures for 5 years. And I'm like, oh, I should take pictures of the temples. And from that point, well, then the next year I was like, I should really like not just stop at the temples, but stop at them like at sunrise and sunset, like at the perfect times of day and take really good pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And then people had started to perk up, and they're like, and then I did one from the top of the church office building at Temple Square that went like super viral. Hundreds and hundreds of people shared it. And I get a phone call from the main art buyer at Deseret Book. And she's like, we'd like to carry this picture. I was like, oh, okay. Sounds good.
You're like, if you can void me from having to pay tithing for the rest of my life, boom, picture's yours.
And still get the blessings.
And still get the blessings. Just straight across my church donations for that picture. What do we think? Are we good? Is that good? I've seen that picture, and that's actually the picture that's associated with this episode, and it is absolutely gorgeous. So they come and say, hey, we want to do this, and then what?
And then they get me in touch with the wholesale, one of the wholesale companies that distributes to Deseret Book. They pick up my whole line, and they're, you know, they go, they've been actively, you know, trying to get them into Siegel Books and Deseret Book, and I think some other places like church history museums. I'm not even sure. I need to give them a call and find out where they've sent them. And then I keep on taking more temple pictures and working on like a big portfolio of lots of temple pictures. I go on more road trips, like 5,000-mile road trips. And then, yeah, that's where we get to this project.
So tell me. Tell me about the project. Let's go. I gave it a tease. There's religious buildings. It's two projects. Religious buildings of the United States, and then also a pictorial display and also description of the 74 LDS temples that are in the United States and Canada.
Okay. So your audience would be more interested in the fact that it started off as an LDS temples book project, and then it became something bigger for the national audience, for people that just want to help promote faith in general. So I have a bunch of different projects that that are great projects that I wanted to do, and you know, that would take a lot of effort, and trying to juggle that with weddings is sometimes difficult because weddings take a lot of time to work on.
Oh yeah.
And but there was a point where I was like, okay, so I'm busy this summer, but after that, I think I've got some time to really focus on one of these projects. And I'm on a road trip all by myself, just me and my thoughts, and I'm thinking, what do I do? And kind of have one of those, like, introspective moments, you know, where you get to this point where you're like, what am I doing? What am I going to do next with my life? I'm happy doing what I'm doing, but there's something more.
I like to think of those as the cry moments where I'm like, oh, I really haven't done anything that I should have been doing.
Yeah. Okay. So I had one of those moments, and, you know, being religious, I'm praying about this. And the next day I am driving, and it comes to me, I'm like, okay, maybe I do none of those projects that I'm thinking about, and I actually make an LDS temples book. But how? And then just like rapidly, I'm like, well, I could do a big road trip and I could do this. And then, oh, a Kickstarter. That's perfect. I'd had people that I'd known like thinking on and on about like Kickstarter. I want to make a Kickstarter. I'm like, yeah, that won't work for me. You know, like I could never, I have no interest in Kickstarter. And then all of a sudden, like Kickstarter is like perfect. I'm like crowdfunded because you can't just go and make an LDS Temples book unless you've got a lot of money to drive around the country. You know, you've got a year that you can, someone's funding you for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You need money to go do that. And I'm like, okay, I can't just say I'm going to make a temple book and then be on the hook for, you know, a $40,000 road trip. But if people believe in this project enough, and then I can get some funding to do it, then yeah, I'm in on this. Let's do it. And so I start talking to people, seeing what they think about it. And they're super excited about it, which gets me more and more interested.
I think it's pretty awesome. I'm looking at your Kickstarter page right now. We'll link this with the episode at theculturalhall.com. But if people are going to Kickstarter, it's Faith in America, Religious Buildings of the United States is how you would search it, and then it would come up.
Yeah.
There are 62 people who believe in you so far. At present, $3,647, and your goal is $70,000. So you're a good 5%, 5.5%.
Yeah, we've been going one day and 3 hours so far.
So that's great. But with Kickstarter, it's always a make it or break it kind of thing. If you don't make it to $70,000, you don't get any of it.
Like I said, I'm not going to go, I can't. I just can't spend a year doing this. And I'm not going to have people, you know, give me money and expect a book when I can't actually complete it. So that's why I have to hit 70. And just so you know, like about 40 to 50% of that goes directly back to making the rewards they get for helping to fund the project.
Mm-hmm. Some of those,
AKA the book, costs to print it and to ship it to people. So,
and I think that's cool. You pointed out you know, that you teach people as well. That's one of the other incentives, is that you'll do classes with people. I'm looking at a five book plus signed plus digital image pack for people that pledge over 280, a big 20 by 30 ready to hang print, which is awesome. It's just, you know, anyone who appreciates either LDS temples or just religious buildings in general, this one of the Princeton campus is gorgeous. This picture that you have here.
Yeah, the church on the Princeton campus.
Yeah.
Makes you think of, like, I don't know, what is it like? It's not quite Harry Potter-esque, but some of those buildings are just have the greatest halls in those cathedrals and stuff.
So we got to see. Oh, go ahead.
In the Faith in America portion of the books, there's going to be a lot of pictures of the inside of the buildings, but the LDS temple books, they're the outside of the buildings.
Yeah. Because you can't take pictures of inside LDS temples. That's that.
Yeah.
I mean, but for people who go, wait a minute, why? Why can't we get a picture on the inside? That's why. People can go to Kickstarter. They can find Faith in America, Religious Buildings of the United States. You can see the link to the Kickstarter on our website, theculturalhall.com, associated with this episode. We'll also put it up on our Facebook page as well here in just a minute so that people can look forward to hearing this episode.
It's also AmericanFaithProject.com.
Okay.
We have a little website for that.
Cool. So we can get that there as well. And then, so you have until the 19th of July. Will you check back in with us towards the end and we can see how it's going? And then, I would love to, if we could work it out as you go out on the road, think of some sort of kind of collaboration as you're out and about.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sound interesting?
Cool.
Could we do
just
that?
Check in, tell you what I've been doing recently, maybe tell a couple stories. Does your audience like stories about...
No, they hate stories. They hate stories of any kind. They like...
I mean, I like, here's, for instance, an example. I was in New York taking some pictures in preparation for this project last month. And, you know, I'm inside of St. Patrick's Cathedral. Then I go down the street and there's this... I think it's Episcopalian or Anglican, big, huge church. I don't think they call them cathedrals, but it's big. And I go inside, I'm like, is it all right to take pictures? Oh yeah, go ahead, go on inside. And I'm in the, and there's a bunch of pews there. It's kind of more of like a, not like a Catholic church. They got the rows of the pews, but it's a beautiful inside of there. There's a ceiling, and then this other couple comes in to see it, because you're in the St. Patrick's and it's just wall to wall people. And then you're in this other beautiful building and you're all alone and just taking pictures there. And this other couple comes in and he's like, oh, what you doing? You know, like we started a conversation and I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this project. And he gets excited about it. He's like, I'm a minister in Wisconsin. And that sounds awesome. And you know, oh, no, he was Texas. And he's like, if you ever come by the city, just come by and you can take pictures of our church and all these different things. And I mentioned, you know, it's not just about Christian things. It's also, you know, about, like, I think I mentioned, like, I'm also doing another book of temples. And he's like, oh, you Jewish? And I'm like, no, I'm Mormon. And, you know, so we ended up conversation about LDS temples and stuff like that. I think I've had several people ask about that already, like, what are, you know, what's the deal with these LDS temples and, you know, what do you guys believe? So
awesome. So it's also a missionary opportunity. Well, cool. I'm excited to hear not only all the stories, but to see that this project goes through. Again, you can find all the information associated with this episode at theculturalhall.com. Scott, good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for stepping in here to the Cultural Hall. Real quick, let's do the drill down questions that we do. Number one, do you have a calling in your ward right now?
No, I just moved about 2 weeks ago, and I haven't been in Utah the last four Sundays.
So let me ask you this. Second question, if you could pick a calling for yourself, one that exists or doesn't exist, what would it be?
I have often volunteered to be the ward photographer because I really love taking pictures. It's not just a job.
And there should be one
in many wards.
There should be one, because you look at those pictures like they have on the directories and stuff like that, and they all look like mugshots. And then you look at the pictures from like the activity, and it's like the one person's family who had the camera. You know, it's like, oh, there's all of that person's kids, and that was all. That was it. That was it from the ward activity. We got five kids. That's it.
Yes.
Last question. What is your favorite part of your faith?
My favorite part of my faith is the concept of free will. The fact that that we are free to choose and do as we want, and that the Lord's plan is that he lets us choose for ourselves, and Satan's plan is that he wants to force us to do things. So, I mean, everything that I think about, I always think in those terms, that you can't force someone to heaven. They have to want to choose and to do good things. And in government, it, in fact, like, you can't legislate morality. You just need to let people, you know, sometimes they'll choose to do bad things, but you can't just make them illegal because you don't think it's right, only if it's hurting someone else.
Tell people they can find you on Facebook. It's Scott Jarvie on Facebook.
Yeah, Scott Jarvie, or, you know, like Facebook.com/Jarvie.
Okay.
With an IE.
Twitter, do you tweet?
Yeah, Jarvie.
Okay. Are you an Instagram guy? It seems like you got to be.
Yeah. I started last year in July, and Jarvie was already taken.
Oh.
So I had to use the Jarvie. Which sounds presumptuous, but I don't know. I just kind of...
But what else do you do when Jarvie's already taken, and that's what you do for everything else? You have to be like, I'm the Jarvie then. Fine. That's it.
The Jarvie. Yeah.
You can find all that if you want to hear more about what's going on in the Cultural Hall. People can find it at The Cultural Hall on Twitter. Find us on Facebook.com/The Cultural Hall, or just go to TheCulturalHall.com. We also do the Pinterest thing. Do you do the Pinterest thing?
Yes, and that's Scott Jarvie. Well, I shouldn't really say that because people expect me to pin a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I've done maybe a few dozen pins.
That's all right.
But they can freely pin my pictures if they would like. And, in fact, to all your listeners, they are free to go and find my temple pictures or landscape pictures, and they can right-click and use them. I have a lot of people use them for covers or their computer screens. I don't charge for that sort of stuff.
Very cool.
As long as they're not doing it for commercially, that's totally fine.
Now
they can just donate $1 to the campaign, and we're even.
Perfect. Done deal. We hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you were not healthy enough to listen this week, that you will be healthy enough to listen next week. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.